Igu Hodges went to Princeton, and then he went to Oxford, and he was out there, all right? So he was just, but what was interesting about Igu Hodges is that he talked just like Floyd the Barber on Mayberry RFD. So here's this guy with this brain from Princeton and Oxford, and he talks like Floyd the Barber. And his class, I'm going to be honest with you, was one of the most boring classes of all. Because he did his class, we'd come in, and for the first day, he would have a stack of papers this big. And it was whatever he was teaching on that for that semester. And he literally opened the book and read. And read. And read. And so me being the nice, thoughtful young man that I wasn't, I decided I'm not going to this class because I can sit and read this book on my own. But then he would have these pop quizzes, okay? And the way that he would do it is I would go into the back of the auditorium to where the class was, and I'd sit in the, I knew the guy was running the sound, I'd sit in the sound booth. And Dr. Hodges would come up and he would say one of two things. He would say, and I'm going to try to do it as best as I can to do Dr. Hodges, the quiz angel has passed over today. And what that meant is we weren't going to have a pop quiz, but he says, if the quiz angel has landed upon us, then we're going to have a pop quiz. So I go into the class, I take the quiz, and I leave. So guess what, class? The quiz angel has landed today. And we are going to have a quiz. And so you are going to, I'm going to ask you questions. Now, it may not necessarily be specifically about Deuteronomy, but you will understand where I'm going at some point, hopefully, before I quit teaching today. So we're going to start with dates. Let's see how you are with dates. Okay. And you can raise your hand. You can... Okay, we tell the kids to raise their hands up in Sunday school, so you have to raise your hand if you know the answer. In 1492, what happened? You can't yell it out. You got to raise your hand. Okay, Evan. Very good. Very good. Gold star for Evan. Now, it's going to get a little harder. And this all has to do with our country, the United States of America. Next one. In 1525, the first permanent settlement was founded in, I see that hand, Aaron Guidry. The first, what? No, not quite. No, it was founded in 1525 in the best state in the Union. Olivia, St. Augustine, very good. Whose daughter are you? Okay, next question. This is a little bit more difficult, and let me tell you, if somebody gets this one right, and by the way, adults, put Google away. 1538, an explorer landed in another certain state, the same state, and set up, so this was the next development, 1538. He landed in Florida, okay? On the west coast of Florida, he came from Peru, landed on the west coast of Florida, and made his way, and he's actually the first European to cross over the Mississippi, and his name was, anyone. Very good. Yes, Chris Gotro, DeSoto. That's good. So, in fact, my mom now lives in Hernando County, Hernando, DeSoto. Okay? So, in 1607, the Virginia Compact was signed, and they came over to start which colony? Aaron, I see that hand. Very, yes. Okay. And then in Jamestown, can anybody tell me the name of the planter, the tobacco planter, who married a certain someone? Either one of those. What? John Rolfe is correct, and he married whom? Pocahontas. Very good. Whose daughter are you? Excellent, excellent. So the next one. In 1620, another ship came over from England. Where did this ship land? I don't see any hands. I just hear people yelling. Emily. Plymouth Rock. That is correct. Plymouth. And so that was the Mayflower Compact, and they came over in 1620. Can anybody tell me the name of the main guy there? Go ahead. Miles Standish is correct. And who? What was the name of the two Indian men who helped out the pilgrims in the Mayflower Compact in Plymouth? Kevin does not want to answer this one. Juby. Squanto is correct. He is one, and the other one was Samoset. Very good. This one nobody's going to get, but this is important to me. In 1662, there was another group that came over. 1662 came over, and it was, I'm just going to tell you this one because nobody's going to get this one. It was with Henry Hudson, and one of the main persons that was on that ship was a guy named Thomas Vandermark. Okay? And they came over in 1662, went up the Hudson River, hence Henry Hudson, went up the Hudson River, okay, and landed in New York. Very good. Let's do one or two more. Who was the president of the United States in 1902? President of the U.S. in 1902. Chris, did you raise your hand? Yes, Chris. Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt. And there's something special about 1902 with Theodore Roosevelt. He was the first president to ride in an automobile. No other president before had ridden in an automobile. But Theodore Roosevelt in 1902 was the first president to ride in an automobile. Okay, let's move on. 1982, Dean started what year of school? Oh, no, that was not the question. Dean started what year of school in 1982? Ninth grade. That is incorrect. Very. No. I started my junior year of college in 1982. My junior year of college in 1982. There was a war going on in 1982. What was the war in 1982? It actually started right around in 81, 82.
Cold War.
Cold War? Yeah, it was a little earlier than that. It is a specific place. Evan? That is incorrect. Chris? No, it's nothing out. It's nothing there. See, you guys don't know this because none of you are around. Yeah? No, the Bay of Pigs. Holy bucks, this one was born. No, just say no. Just say no. No, it was the Falkland War. Haven't you guys heard of the Falkland War? Do you know what in the world was the Falkland War? No, you guys don't know what in the world the Falkland War was. Okay? No, actually, it was part of Argentina and the English. In England, they fought against them because they wanted to split off. And then in 1983, what was introduced for the first time? I'll give you a hint. It's not this. No. Windows. Windows, because in 1980, there was this thing called the ARPANET. The ARPANET is the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network. And in 1980, the ARPANET became the Internet. Why in the world am I telling you this stuff? Because I want you to start getting a frame of mind for Deuteronomy. Because when I started working on Deuteronomy, it hit me that we don't have a grip on a picture of what's going on in the people in Deuteronomy. So today is not a day where I'm going to do word studies. I might throw a word study in or something like this, but this is more of story time with Pops. Okay, that's what this is. This is story time with Pops because I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a longer story. Okay, so 1492, and I'm gonna tell you this, it's within a few years, okay? It's within a few years, but with 1492, that is when Abraham was first called by God. 1492. In fact, to help you out, Daniel, Ethan, or Alexi, you can do this. Hand these out to one to each couple. Okay? Actually, let me have one because I really could need one. Thank you. Okay, so if you look at this from Adam, okay, from Adam to where Abraham is in year 2000, if you look at where Abram is born, it says where he's born, is in the year 2000. There is 2,000 years from when Adam was born to when Abram was born, which is wild because from Adam to Abram is Genesis 1 through 12. That's it. Genesis 1 through 12 takes up 2,000 years. And what's interesting about it is that from Genesis 12 through the end of the Old Testament is 2,000 years. Okay, so from Adam to Genesis 12:1 is 2,000 years of time, and from Genesis 12:1 to the end of the Old Testament is 2,000 years time. Okay, so Abraham, in our picture of these dates that I gave you, Abraham was called around the time when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay? Isaac, his son, was born about the time when Hernando de Soto came into Tampa Bay to as an explorer in 1538. Jacob goes down to Egypt in 1620 when the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. You starting to get in this picture now? Okay? In 1662, when Henry Hudson came in with Thomas Vandermark into the Hudson River Valley in Upper New York, that is when Joseph dies, okay? And it's the start, it's the change in the picture of where the Israelites are with the Egyptians. 1902, when Theodore Roosevelt was the president, is when Moses is born. Okay? And then in 1980, when the internet was first started, I was a junior in college, starting my junior year of college. 1980, that is when Moses comes back to Egypt to take the people out. So you get this. Are you getting a picture of this now? And then 1982 to 2022, is the start of Deuteronomy. So 2022, where we are right now, is the start, in your mind, a picture of the start of Deuteronomy. Okay? So when they're talking about your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you got to remember, Abraham is back in the time of Columbus sailing the ocean blue and the start of the Plymouth colony. That's how far back these people are. Okay? And so Genesis, like I said, is the time period in Genesis is about 2,200 years. Okay? So from Genesis 1 to Genesis 50 is about 2,200 years. From Exodus to the end of Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus, that's about 400 years. And then Deuteronomy happens in one day. The whole book of Deuteronomy happens in one day. And what happens is that Moses says, okay, let's sit down. I'm going to have a chat with y'all. I'm going to talk with y'all. Okay? So, let's start with Deuteronomy 1. Okay? Oh, and before we do that, let me hand out this, because this is going to help you out. Lexi. Daniel. This is going to help you out. Okay? All right, while they're handing it out, I'm going to just start reading. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, Dizahab, whatever else. Okay, verse 2. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Okay? Verse 3, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in command to them. Now, I want you to see this, and I want you to understand that these first three verses are one of the biggest 2x4s across the side of a head of a people group that you will ever read in the Bible. Okay? Because I want you to get your little maps that you have. Okay? Down at the bottom, you see Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. Okay? You see that? Take your finger and go up, follow the path, and it goes to Kadesh Barnea. Okay? You see where that is on that map? To Kadesh Barnea. All right? You all see that? Everybody sees that? Nod. Tell me that you see it. Okay, verse 2. Verse 2. Let me read that again. It is an 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It's 11 days. Then the next verse, in the 40th year, what have you been doing for 39 years, 11 months, and what is this now, 20 days? 39 years, 11 months, 20 days. What have you been doing? Because it's only an 11-day journey from Mount Sinai, where I gave you the Ten Commandments, to Kadesh Barnea, where I told the spies to go look, and you could walk into the Promised Land. It's 11 days, but you've been walking for 40 days, 40 years. What's going on? Do you not see that that is the biggest 2x4 to the side of the face of anybody in the Bible? It's an 11-day journey, but you guys have been walking for 39 years, 11 months, and 20 days. Okay? So, let's go down to verse 19. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that good and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country, as the Lord your God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. There's the 11-day journey. That's what it should have been. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God has given you. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. This is what he's saying to them. Okay? Then go down to verse 34. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore. Be sure to keep reading on, because we don't want to stop there and say, and he swore. Not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the great good land that I swore to give your fathers. Not one. Except Caleb, the son of whatever. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he is trodden, because he has wholly followed me. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account and said, you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. I want you to listen carefully to this next verse. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it and shall possess it. Okay? So do you get what he's saying? They are in Kadesh Barnea. This is only 11 days' journey from there, from Mount Sinai. Okay? Because remember, in Hebrew writing, it's not linear. It doesn't follow a linear thing. They can jump back and forth. And so what Moses is saying, he's saying, hey, listen, you guys were there at Kadesh Barnea. I gave you the land. I said you can go in. You sent the spies in. They said, oh, there's a lot of good stuff, but there's a lot of big people there. We can't take it. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go in. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to cause us to die in this wilderness? And the Lord heard your words and was angry, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers. Verse 39, and as for your little ones, who you said would become prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they will possess it. So here's another way of looking at it. Us here in this room, right now, we're at Kadesh Barnea. We've done the 11-day journey. We've got the Ten Commandments. We've seen God up on the mountain, and we walk to Kadesh Barnea, and the spies come in into the land, and they say, there's lots of big people. And it's like, wait a second, we don't want to go in. We don't want to do that. And God says, here's what's going to happen. In this room right here, Holden, Salem, Ireland, Eden, Titus, Annie, Eliza, Rachel, Juby, all the other ones that are small, and William. You guys are going into the land, but the rest of you aren't. The rest of you are not. And so for the next 39 years, all of you are just going to walk around. And you're going to walk around, and you're going to walk around. And none of you adults that are really listening to me are going to make it into the land. But the kids are the ones that are going to. Whoa. That's mind-blowing. That is really mind-blowing. So let's go a little further into Deuteronomy. So in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, Moses is telling them, okay, about what happened, giving them a little rundown. And then in chapter 4, he says, and now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. Okay? So you have to understand, what he's saying now is not to you adults. It's not to any of you adults, because you guys are gone. It's to your kids. That's who he's talking to now. That's who he's telling right now, I'm going to teach you the statutes. Okay? And you know what else is really amazing about this? Okay? So at this time, when Moses is saying this, how old is Moses? Who said what? He's 120 because remember, Moses was born when Theodore Roosevelt was president in 1902. So Moses is 120. But all of you people in this area, in this church right now, are not even close to 120. In fact, I wore this shirt today because it says, I'm not old, I'm classic, I'm the oldest person here. But I'm not here either. I'm gone just like you guys. Because Moses, at 120 years old, and the only person that's 120, and the only person standing that is even the closest person in age to him is probably in their 50s. Except for Joshua and Caleb. But everybody else is around 50 years old. And then how many people are sitting here and listening to this story, to what Moses is saying? There's like, okay, how many men came out of Israel, out of Egypt with Israel over the Red Sea? How many men? Yeah, because it says, because, you know, the Bible is just talks about men. So it says how many, it says the number of men that came out from Egypt, okay, across the Red Sea. And the answer is 6 million men. So if there's 6 million men and they're married and they have kids, we're talking 12 to 15 million people. So there's about 12 to 15 people, even though the older ones have died, they're still having babies in the wilderness. They're still growing. So here's Moses sitting down and he's telling them, he's talking to about 12 to 15 million people, okay? So, verse 2, you shall not add to the word that I command, nor take from it, that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God that I commanded. Drop down to verse 5. So I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? For what great nation is there that his statutes and rules so righteous as all this law have I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood, I want you to catch this, for on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but saw no form. There was only a voice, and he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. Do you see a problem in that? Honestly, do you see a problem in what he just said? Think about what I told you. Think about dates. Think about people. Do you see a problem? Because I saw a huge problem. Here's what I saw. Let me read this to you again. You came near and stood in front of the mountain while the mountain burned. Then the voice spoke of the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sounds of the word but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. Hold on a second. Moses, hold on. You're 120 years old, and you're forgetting something because you're 120 years old. You're forgetting something. Chapter 1. I know I'm jumping around, but chapter 1. verse 39. And as for your little ones, who you say would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it and shall possess it. So I'm sitting there, if I'm one of the people sitting there when Moses is telling us this there in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and he's saying, you were at the mountain, you were there, I gave you that. My hand is going up saying, hold on a second, I was 3 years old. All the people that had the knowledge of good and evil are dead. They're in the desert. Why are you telling me in chapter 4 here that I'm the one that was getting this stuff? That you were talking to me because I was William. I was John. What's going on? I don't understand it. That's why I wanted you to see. I wanted you to get a picture. Because when the Ten Commandments came, it's in the time of Ronald Reagan when Dean was starting his sophomore year of college, when most of you in this room weren't even born. However, if I go by what he's saying in Deuteronomy 4, you are just as liable for something that was said to me 40 years ago. That doesn't make sense. Why? Why, as a child, as a kid who didn't know good and evil, why are you holding me accountable? And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to try to tell you why. Chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And if I had time, I would start reading to you in Deuteronomy how Moses over and over and over said to Holden and Juby, you are to teach your children and to teach your children and to let them know. As parents, it's our responsibility to teach our kids not just the ways of the Lord, but what God does for us, what he's doing. In the song that we sang, there is a line, I know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. When Moses talked to the children of Israel, he would say, and your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm saying this to you. When I say something to you, and when Columbus, and when DeSoto, and when the Mayflower came into town, God spoke to them. And I want to tell you what he's given to them, because it's come down to us. So as parents, it is our responsibility to teach our kids the way of the Lord. Because Moses is sitting down for one day with all of these people, and Moses is literally going to be dead in 2 weeks' time. And he's saying, remember, 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 remember that I did this. Remember that I did this. And you want to know something? As kids, as Holden and as John and as William, they are just as responsible as me. Because it's my responsibility to tell them so that they know it. And then I want you to look at And now, verse 1 in chapter 4. And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you. The word there for statutes is not just something written down. It's something that's engraved, inscribed. That's what we are to do with our kids. We are to engrave the word of God onto their hearts. We are to inscribe the teachings of Jesus to our kids, because that is what's going to make them live long in the land. That is what's going to allow them to possess the land. That is what's going to allow them to thrive in the land. It's 11:45. I could spend the next 45 minutes giving you a case for what I just said, but take my word for it. That's what he's saying. That's what Moses is saying. Let me try to wrap it up by this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, it is known as the Shema. That's where you hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. And that word hear in Hebrew is the Shema. It's Shema. And it's not just to hear like, oh, I heard that. I heard that. It's like, no, I heard it. And I listened to it. And I obeyed it. And I made it part of my life. Okay? But what I want to do is I want to go down to the very end. Chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. That right there is what I'm trying to teach you guys, to say to you. But I want you to know this, that when you keep the statutes and the rules that God gives us, you are seen as righteous. But I want you to understand that in the Hebrew way, that word righteous is not what you think it is. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. If you see righteousness as a list of do's and don'ts, you're missing the Hebrew thought pattern for righteousness. Righteousness in the Hebrew thought pattern is doing right by someone specific to the context of your relationship with them. So the better way of seeing it is this. Whenever you see righteousness in the Old Testament, instead of saying righteousness, say right relationship. Okay? And what that does is it changes it a lot. Because when I am in a right relationship, I'm telling my kids. I'm sitting down. You know in chapter 6 where you put it on the doorpost and you teach your kids while you're walking here. That is a relationship. That's the relationship that you have with your kids. That's the relationship that I have with my kids. That's the relationship I have with my grandkids. It is my responsibility to share this truth with them. If they obey his commands, if we obey his commands, our way of living will be very different from those around, and it will be seen as a beautiful way. Obeying the wisdom of the law, his statutes, his rules, what we have been told, what we tell our kids, will be our righteousness before God and before our neighbors, because that's our relationship with God, our relationship with our neighbors. Because when we do this, I want you to hear this, when we do this, when we have that right relationship, it develops a community that others want to join and want to be a part of. Let me say that again. It develops a community that others want to join and want to be a part of. So how do I apply that to us right now? We are Wardville Community Church. We are Wardville Community Church. And Eliza and Annie and John and Holden in Ireland and Salem are just as important to the community of this church as Ethan and Evan and Zach and Daniel and all of us are. Because in 40 years, We're going to be gone, and they are what's left. What are we doing to instill the beauty of what God has done for us into their hearts? That is the point of Deuteronomy. That's the point of what Moses is trying to say to the Israelites. It is your responsibility to make sure that your kids know what's going on. You had a whole generation. Your parents died in the wilderness. They walked around with no purpose. But now you have a purpose. You're going into the promised land. Build memorials. Build things that your kids will see. This is what God did for us as a family. Build memorials and things about Wardville Community Church and what this church has done for your family. Make Wardville Community Church inviting, exciting, and a place where others want to come and join in. That is why I believe Wardville Community Church exists. And if we are doing that, Peyton, if we are doing that, then by God's grace, we are becoming a family of faith here, devoted to the Lord Jesus, his words, his ordinances, his statutes, his rules, and to one another as we seek to accomplish the shared mission of making him known among the nations, among our community, among the people here in our church. That's the point of Deuteronomy. That's what I hope you take away from what I'm saying today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the fact that you love us no matter what. And when we walk away, and when we wander for 39 years, 11 months, and 20 days with no purpose, that you stay there with us, and your steadfast love stays with us, and it never leaves us. No matter how much we get strayed away, you are there for us. God, I pray that as a church, that this year we make an 11-day journey. An 11-day journey that we can go in and possess the land and not be scared at the giants and not be scared of the people around us and not be scared of what might happen to us, because we don't know what you're doing, but we know what you've done. We know what you've done for our church. We know what you've done in our lives. We know what you've done to other people here. Forgive us for going astray, God. Forgive us for walking with no purpose. And cause us to get our eyes on you and to walk and to live and to be right in relationship with our friends, our family, and those people that we are together here with. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, church, as we continue, we'll continue with communion as we do every week. One thing that I've thought about as Dean was sharing, and particularly at the end, and as he brought our mission statement back, as we are becoming a family of faith, that as we look in not just Deuteronomy, but the books before that, we see these books that are a picture of God's covenant people walking forward in what he has for them. And God shows forth his promises over and over and over again to those covenant people. And as we take communion this morning, I just want to remind us that just as we look in the Old Testament and we see God's covenant people, but that we together as a family of faith are God's covenant people, and that as we partake of the bread and the juice this morning, that this is a sign that of God's continuing promises and faithfulness as we move forward into tomorrow and the next day and the next day. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, and a lot of us know the scripture well, but it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So as we approach the table this morning, let us do this, what Peter acknowledges us, to proclaim Christ, to proclaim the one who's called us out of darkness into his light. Let this be a proclamation of what he has done in your life and in our life this morning. As always, if you don't know Jesus, don't partake of this table today. Come talk to us and partake of the salvation that Jesus offers to you today. Let's pray and we'll come forward. Jesus, thank you that we are a people for your own possession, that you have laid hold of us. And there's nothing that can take us, that can snatch us out of your hand. Thank you that you've called us by name, that we're chosen. Lord, through not an ounce of our own works and our own goodness, but only because of your incredible, unfathomable mercy that you have poured out upon us in abundance. Lord, let us live in light that we are your people together. And let this bread and this juice as we partake, Lord, just instill within us. Let it spur us on, Lord, to living in light of that reality. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, what you have done. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. The table's open.